Are you scouring the web for the best Black Friday and Cyber Monday deals? Stop it. Get Rakuten. Rakuten is a shopping sidekick that gets you cash back on gifts for everyone on your list. Right now, you can get up to 15% cash back at the stores you love. You can even stack cash back on top of the biggest sales of the year. That's savings on savings. It's more time shopping and less time searching. With Rakuten, you're always saving at your favorite stores on the things you're already buying. Cash back is automatically added to your account as you shop, and you can get paid with gift cards, PayPal, or check. Or eligible American Express card members can even choose to earn membership rewards points instead of cash back. It's truly a no-brainer. Now's the time to join. Up to 15% cash back ends on 12/2. Plus, new members will receive a welcome bonus after minimum qualifying purchases. Just go to Rakuten.com, download the app, or install the browser extension. That's R-A-K-U-T-E-N. Terms and conditions apply.
When the girls and I are not saving the world, we listen to all the Geekcast Radio Network podcasts.
Hello, and welcome to the 36th episode of Tooncast, brought to you by the Geekcast Radio Network. I am your host, TFG1 Mike, and today I am joined once again by Kevin, Professor Boss K-Dog Thompson. Hello.
Hola.
How are you?
For all the Spanish listeners out there. Just kidding. I'm doing pretty good, actually.
Yes, we are going to be discussing yet another Charlie Brown classic, Be My Valentine, Charlie Brown. So what's been going on with you this past week or so?
Actually, I've been somewhat busy. I've been trying to keep up with what we're doing here at Tooncast. Obviously, I feel like I'm a little more ahead of the game than I have been for a couple months, so that's a good thing. I've been trying to watch movies after movies after movies because I'm still working on making these top 50 of the decade list. Give myself a shameless plug here. I did post my top 50 movies of the 80s on the Behind the Voice Actors forum. It's posted there. I also posted it on my Facebook. A couple other things besides doing research and trying to get things ready for this show. Fox Wolf, the guy that's the main administrator Behind the Voice Actors, he's been pumping out all kinds of features. So if you haven't had a chance to check it out, you should check it out. We actually have a Twitter account up now so that we're updating our Twitter as we update things on the site, but there's a lot of cool stuff happening over there. So I've been trying to stay busy with both things.
Stay busy with both things? You don't do anything for this show anymore other than record. I do all the fucking work.
Print stuff, and now I'm gonna start doing a lot more research again. I'm saying that now. Who knows if it'll be true, the bad thing is that Behind the Voice Actors, he just started a new feature called Top 10 type thing, and it's something where administrators can post these top 10 lists. So the first thing I'm doing is obviously it has to be related to cartoons or voice acting or whatnot. But the first ones I'm putting on there is some theme songs top 10. So I'm having some fun with that, trying to. I know I have a CD already that I've referenced a lot of times on the show, and where I have my best theme songs ranked, but I'm actually going back through and trying to pick them apart, and I might even move some around and as far as the order goes when I'm trying to come up with a top 10. So,
yes.
The fun with cartoon theme songs, so that's all I can say.
Trying to think. What's been going on with me?
Record after record after record.
Yeah, true. Very, very true. Over on M-Wire, we are in the middle of our DC Spotlight Volume 1. We just released, over the past 2 weeks, we released Batman 89 and Batman Returns episodes. Up next for that will be Batman Forever, Batman and Robin, Batman Begins, and then The Dark Knight. We'll close out that spotlight. We just recorded...
Sorry, that reminds me. Target has some good deals on DVDs, even though they're not necessarily the best version, like the best special features and stuff like that. They have those four movies on one DVD for like $9 or whatever. And I actually just got the 94 Batman movies on one disc. I haven't sat down and watched them again, but the reason I thought of that is I was on some site when I was trying to look at different movies and stuff like that and figure out which ones I should be putting in different places. Have you ever been to a site called, I hate plugging another site because it's actually not that good of a site, but there's a Rankopedia. It's kind of like Wikipedia, but it's Rankopedia, and they basically, the reason it's not that good is because anybody can submit these lists, but they basically submit lists and then everybody can vote on them, and it kind of keeps track of ranking. And one of them was Best Batman Movie Ever, and it had, all the ones you just mentioned were on there, but it seems pretty skewed because I can tell the list was made when Batman Begins came out, and it keeps a total of all the votes taken. So because they didn't add Dark Knight until later, it's kind of like way at the bottom because it just hasn't had enough time for people to vote on it.
Yeah.
But you know, it's an interesting site, but it pissed me off too much, so I had to stop going.
Yeah, I actually have the complete anthology set, all four films on 2-disc editions.
Right.
It is just an awesome, awesome set. They have it's over 18 hours of special features.
Right.
Let's see.
I'm waiting for them to put out a cool edition with this new batch before I buy them all. I have Batman Begins, but I've held off on Dark Knight because I know at some point there's going to be some type of, you know, collection with those two and whichever ones come out later, and I kind of want to get it all together.
Let's see what else. We just recorded the Beast Unleashed podcast episode 2. I'm going to be by the time this airs, I will have recorded the Secret Origins podcast episode 1. What else do we have going on? We're pretty much like getting in a rhythm of what we're going to be releasing. And yeah, Steve and I were saying, you know, I said to Steve the other day, or well, again, by the time this airs, a couple weeks. You know, until some of these shows, like Tooncast and Beast Unleashed and Secret Origins, until some of them are completely done, we're not adding any new shows. Holy fucking crap, people. I always said from the beginning when we started this network, what the hell are we thinking trying to run 7 different shows or 8 different shows? But I do have tons of ideas for new stuff. New shows coming out.
I do too, but I gotta get my damn computer back.
What the hell? What's the story with that? Let's go. You can't.
I know.
Forever, damn it.
Hopefully, within the next couple months at the most, things will straighten out with what I got going on, and that and some tax money coming back will help me get everything back in line.
Well, let's hope, damn it.
Trust me, it drives me nuts more than it drives you nuts.
I love doing podcasting, and I usually do a math segment every now and then. Like, I'll open up a Word document and just write down like every show that I've done or every show that I've guested on, whether it's mine or not, and I'll count out the episodes just to keep track of how many podcasts I've actually done. I think it's close to like 200 episodes at this point. 200 or so. I don't know. That's what it was last time I did it.
You have to make sure you know exactly. So when you do your 200th or your 250th show, you make a call out about it.
Well, see, by then I would have done a lot more, because if I've already done 200 episodes of, like, if, you know, Steve and I are going to be interviewed, well, again, probably by the time this airs, we will have already been interviewed by Brian Kilby of Radio Free Cybertron. I've been collaborating with him a couple of times. He's been on a couple of toy casts since I've been talking to him on Twitter and Facebook and all that happy stuff. But yeah, I mean, we're just constantly putting out content. We're kind of putting a stop to creating new shows, but I do have tons of ideas. I have an idea for a 24 podcast. I have an idea for an Ash Bridges review podcast. That will never get started until all 6 seasons are on DVD. Season shut up.
I have two ideas that I'll save until later.
You know, I've got, you know, tons and tons and tons of ideas. So, I think we're going to bring this general chat to a close. And up next, we will be talking about Be My Valentine, Charlie Brown.
What are you doing, Charlie Brown?
I'm waiting for Valentine.
Oh, well, good luck.
Thank you.
You'll need it.
You didn't have to say that.
Thank you.
right, it is time for the history lesson, and once again, do you have your friggin' script, you bastard?
Of course I do. For today's history lesson, we're going back quite a ways, actually, back to 1975 with Be My Valentine, Charlie Brown. It is, and don't worry, our numbers probably will throw you off a little bit, but it's the 13th primetime animated TV special based upon the popular comic strip Peanuts by Charles M. Schulz. It was originally aired on the CBS network January 28, 1975. In 2008, it was aired on ABC. It was released to DVD on January 7, 2003 by Paramount Home Entertainment. It was re-released on January 15, 2008 by Warner Home Video. Also, the special is available on iTunes, along with It's Your First Kiss, Charlie Brown, and You're in Love, Charlie Brown. So that does it for the history lesson. Let's talk some Peanuts.
Yeah, going into the general memories, this is the only one out of the major holiday ones that I currently do not own on DVD, unfortunately. Shut up. I know that they did do... they released it in a remastered... I believe it's a one-disc or a two-disc edition, I forget.
It's not included in the big one that just came out?
The Peanuts 1960s or 1970s, probably. But I'm saying... When they started doing the whole remastering thing and putting new deluxe edition, like the new holiday edition box set, that's just for those three holidays, the Thanksgiving, Christmas, and Halloween. But they've also been doing the same thing, deluxe edition single disc or two disc individual ones, because I have the Easter Beagle one. I never had a chance to pick this one up yet. I will eventually. I should note, before we really get too far into the general memories, I should have noted in the intro, this is the Valentine's episode for Tooncast, so happy Valentine's Day, everybody, even though it'll air, 3 weeks before Valentine's Day.
Valentine's Day sucks. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, you know, it's funny you say that, because I meant to bring it up in the intro. One of the other big bits of news for me is I'm no longer single, so, yeah.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Valentine's Day doesn't fuck for you anymore.
No. So, yeah. But anyway, you know, I always, and I'll get to this further once we get into the actual plot, you know, and other, but when, I would always watch this in school when I was, 5, 6, 7 years old, you know, in elementary school. Because we always had Valentine's parties.
Yeah.
And we would always watch this, and we would always do the way that they did it in the show, where they would have, you know, the refreshments, and then they would pass out the Valentines and yada yada yada. So I mainly remember watching this at school when I was, you know, when I was a kid. I don't think I have an issue with any of the material that's in here. I'm just trying to think, because I just watched it on YouTube a while ago. I don't know. What are your general memories for this one?
I remember watching it. I don't know if I was in school. I don't know if I was at home. I'm guessing it was more of a thing that I watched at home. I don't have, specific memories of when I watched it, but I do know that I did watch it. Because as I watched it this past, couple days ago, I could remember most of the parts, and they were triggering memories for me, whereas some of the other... Charlie Brown or the Peanuts specials, I don't have really much of a recollection of besides maybe the Christmas one. Mm-hmm. So I must have seen this one more than I saw the Thanksgiving one or more than I saw the Easter one. But I, like I said, I can't pinpoint where I was, when I was, you know, what I was doing, but I enjoyed this one. I don't know if it's my favorite one out of all the Peanuts ones. I go back and forth on this one. There are some parts that I have issues with. There are other parts that I absolutely love. It's kind of the parts I like in this one are better than the parts of any of the other Peanuts ones that I like. It seems like there are parts that are good are really good, and then there's some parts that I like worse than anything in the other one. So it's the best, it's got the best and the worst in this one, and I'm kind of torn. I want to say overall that it's one of my... one of the better ones, one of my favorite ones, but there's a couple things holding me back that we'll get into a little bit later.
Yeah, for me, honestly, when I was watching this back earlier, I had a thought. The Valentine's special. Yeah, I know. It's shocking, isn't it? I actually, it's my brain. But anyway, I had a thought. I said, okay, wait. The Valentine's special is just a recycled Halloween special. Because if you look at it, in both specials, Charlie Brown is getting the shaft. Gets no candy. He gets rocks, but he gets no candy in Halloween special, and he gets no Valentine's here. and then they pity him, and I know I'm kind of getting into the plot here, but then they pity him, cross somebody's name off of one, and give him a reused How the hell do you re-gift a fucking Valentine?
Yeah, that's one of the parts I didn't like.
we'll get to that once we get to the thing. But I mean, I just thought that wow, this one and the Halloween one are so similar.
Yeah.
As far as Charlie Brown himself is concerned, as far as what happens to him. Now I will also, when we get to about a month or so down the line, a month or 2 months down the line, when we get to Easter Beagle, I will also equate that with Great Pumpkin, because there are similarities in those two as well. Do we have any other general memories?
No. I don't remember much about it, so I can't give you too much on my memory.
All right, going into the voice actors segment, we have Duncan Watson as Charlie Brown, Melanie Conn as Lucy, Stephen Shea as Linus, Lynn Mortensen as Sally, Greg Felton as Schroeder, and of course Bill Melendez as Snoopy Woodstock, and Linda Ericoli as Violet and Frida.
I think it's important to say just right off the bat, and hopefully you've listened to our other Peanuts specials, but you know, something that's characteristic of the Charlie Brown shows is that they're always recasting to make sure that they have younger voice cast. That's why a lot of the times they're not necessarily the most famous voiceover artists. And this did mark the one of those times where they were shifting. I kind of have it later on in the notes, but I'll say it right now that this is the last special for the Shea who did Linus and for Lynn Mortensen who did Sally, and they were replaced after this special. So just one of those things that's characteristic of the Peanut group.
Yeah, I mean, good.
I just can't say too much about the voice actors because I really don't know many of them, besides obviously Bill Melendez, who's obviously famous for being on all the Peanut stuff, but yeah. The other ones I really don't know very well.
Yeah, I mean, the voice actors segment for the Peanut shows that we've done, at first it was kind of, the first like four or five of them, or three or four, however many we've done so far, I think it was three, because the first three holiday ones, we had more to say about them, but because they're always constantly changing and trying to get people who sound like the other people did in the specials, there really isn't too much we can say on the voice acting. Now, I do have to...
Although I will say, I should say that we should find out, I don't know if it's possible, but I'll try to look it up, who the voice... oh, God, my mind just went blank. What's Andrea Romano usually play? What's her job?
Oh, the voice director?
Yeah, or whoever's finding these people should get some props. We'll have to try to find a name, because whoever found all the replacements, I think did an absolutely phenomenal job of making it. Like, there was no way as a kid that you could have told me that there was like three or four or five different people playing these kids.
Right.
Like, it really sounds like the same Charlie Brown. It always, to me, I guess I would have to really analyze it to see what the differences are, but most of the characters sound the same throughout the entire series, if you want to call it a series. And I think whoever found these people get some credit.
Oh yeah. Well, honestly, I think that because just from the ones we've already reviewed so far, and doing all the research for those, basically the three guys that pretty much put all the Peanuts specials together was obviously Charles Schulz, the creator of Peanuts, Bill Melendez, and Lee Mendelsohn. So it probably came between one of them. Bill and
I'll try to do some research and figure out which one, and maybe for our next Peanuts one, I'll also find out total number of people who played these different characters.
All right.
I'm interested to see how many people played Charlie Brown. but definitely a good job by them. Even you know, even if they're not as famous, they did a fantastic job as far as making them sound like the people before them. And as the individual voice acting, I don't think it's kind of Peanuts is different when it comes to voice acting. Like it's just a different style of voice acting, but a lot of it relies on the voice actors because there's so little. You know, the animation is more of a simplistic version on purpose. So a lot of it comes from the voice acting, and can they create a scene out of it that's not necessarily moving around that much.
Right, and you know, and I do have to comment about something. You know, I understand what Bill and Lee were going for as far as, you know, Bill always wanted kids because he wanted it to sound natural. However, you know, I just did an interview with Tara Strong. It's actually already up right now as we're recording this, but... it airs in between Oliver and Company and the Transformers knockoffs, the GoBots episode. Tara Strong, I asked her because one of her taglines is she does boys' voices. She's the voice of Ben 10. I didn't know that, but
a lot of female voice actors do kids very well.
Right, exactly. So I asked her. I said, you know, what's the difference between a guy, you know, between a man doing a young boy's voice and you doing it or whatever. And she basically brought up the fact that, you know, when we go through like puberty or adolescence or whatever, our voices change obviously. And, you know, we can't hold the high pitch. Yes. Yeah, I can't even do it myself. You know, we can't hold that high pitch younger version of ourselves.
Right.
So, you know, that's one of the reasons why she said that a lot of voice acting directors like going to her or females that are like her, like, say, Sue Blue or Cree Summer or, what's her name?
Tress
McNeil. Yeah, Tress McNeil. You know, but in this case, I understand why they went with children. You know, that's just the way that they were back then. You know, and I don't really have a problem with it, but...
No, I think it works fine for the style they were doing it. If they were trying to do a different type of cartoon, it might not work. But for the style that Peanuts is, I think that's just kind of, it just works for that style.
Yes. Okay, so are we done with the voice actors, or do you want to do a favorite character from this one?
The favorite character in this one is Easy. I know it's cheating again, but...
Well, I was going to say, just from that smirk, I know exactly what your damn favorite character is going to be.
This one was like a highlight reel for Snoopy.
Yeah.
It was absolutely a highlight reel for, and we'll get into this when we get into the actual show, but I have almost all of my favorite moments of the show involve Snoopy. So he is by far my favorite. As far as a least favorite, although I will say one of my other favorites, even though they're always a team, is Woodstock gets a little bit more of a role in this one than he does in some of the other Peanut specials. So he did a good job too. I don't know. If my least favorite is, I don't know, it's one of the girls. I haven't decided which one, but it's one of the girls.
I would say all of them.
The whole group that gives them the pity Valentine is my least favorite character.
Yeah, that's Violet and Frida, and I think his sister Sally is there. For me, I believe so far out of the ones we've covered, Snoopy and Woodstock have only been in. Oh, Snoopy's been in all of them. But Woodstock has only been in two. He's been in the Thanksgiving one and this one. He was not in the Halloween one or the Christmas one.
And he gets a bigger role in this one than he did in the Thanksgiving one, even, I think.
Yeah, very, very much so. One of the reasons why I think I equate watching this to watching it while at Valentine's parties in school is because I was pretty much Charlie Brown in school. I was the one that didn't... Thank God they never did give me a reused one, but, you know,
right.
I was the one that, you know, pretty much didn't get any Valentine's. But whatever, it's all in the past. But anyway, all right, well, I guess we can move on to the behind-the-scenes segment. Where do we want to start with this?
I don't know. Are we reading some of these? I'm gonna read the second one just because I think it's kind of funny here. or not the second one, but it's quite a bit down here. But there's one where Linus is going on a little bit of a rampage, throwing his chocolates out over the bridge, and he's, you know, this one is for love, and this one is for Valentine's, this one is for romance, this one is for Elizabeth Barry Browning, this is for a house I love thee, this is for, and this is kind of funny. Not to mention the fact that he's throwing chocolates to Snoopy, and Snoopy should be dying. But
Snoopy and Woodstock, both.
But Snoopy shouldn't be eating the chocolate. Woodstock could handle.
I know. But the thing about Snoopy is, and I'm sure we'll get into this a little bit later, the thing about Snoopy is, even though he is a dog, he is probably the most animated or animatic type of dog that I've seen ever. I mean, yeah, you have Scooby-Doo. Yeah, you have Marmaduke. Yeah, you have, oh, crap. Jesus Christ. Astro. Astro and Dino from Jetsons and Flintstones. But, I mean, Snoopy is, out of all of them, probably besides Scooby-Doo, Snoopy is the one that is, like, the closest thing to a real dog. I mean, yeah, Astro is a real dog, but, you know, I don't know.
I do have to read one more quote that I just read across, because there's two quotes that come directly next to each other during the show, one of which is my favorite line of the entire show, and it is followed by my least favorite line of the entire show. And the favorite line from the entire show for this one goes to Schroeder for me. It's kind of long, but I'm going to read it anyway just because I think it's great. This is right after they are trying to give Charlie Brown a pity Valentine. And he says, hold on there. What do you think you're doing? Who do you think you are? Where were you yesterday when everyone else was giving out Valentines? Is kindness and thoughtfulness something you can make retroactive? Don't you think he has any feelings? You and your friends are the most thoughtless bunch I've ever known. You don't care anything about Charlie Brown. You just hate to feel guilty. And now you have the nerve to come around one day later and offer him a used Valentine just to ease your conscience? Well, let me tell you something. Charlie Brown doesn't need your...
Don't listen to him. Take it based on comic strip of 3/17/63.
Yeah, the fact that Charlie Brown says, don't listen to him, I'll take it, I was like, no! Don't take it!
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm sorry to interrupt you there. I'm not sure if... Because the outro for this show, it starts with Linus on the bridge, and it pretty much goes through the end of the special, so I'm pretty sure that will be in the outro for this show, because I just ripped
it. It's just a fantastic line for Schroeder, and it's just like, I wasn't necessarily someone who got Valentine's every year. I definitely never got one from whoever I was wanting one from every year. You know, if I did get one, it was from, I don't know, someone I didn't want one from. but you know, it's just like it's a good like jab to all the girls out there that you know, just, I don't know, the whole thing, like, you're just giving one to ease your conscience even though you don't care. It's like, it's just such a well written line, and I wish Charlie Brown wouldn't have taken it.
Yeah, you know, another one I have to kind of go to is this is horrible for the male-female relationship, really. If you look at Lucy and Schroeder, they're like the worst couple ever, because, you know, part of the beginning part of the quote, you know, the beginning part of their scene is she's talking to Schroeder, sometimes I don't think you realize you could lose me. Are you sure you want to suffer the tortures of memories of lost love? Do you know the tortures of memories of a lost love? Schroeder stops playing the piano just as Lucy goes berserk, demolishing the piano over her next line. You know? And that's just like a little side note here in the script showing the action, but, you know, it's like, holy crap. Pay off him, chick. What the hell?
Right.
You know?
There's definitely some good lines in this one, though. There's more, and to me, there's more memorable lines in this one. I mean, I know the Christmas one, there's memorable lines, but they're memorable lines because they're famous lines of scripture and stuff like that. So it's not like they came up with them for the show. They're basically just using scripture in the show. But this one, as far as like original lines written for the show, or even if they were for the comic and used in the show, I think this one had more great lines than any other Peanuts special.
Oh, yeah. I would so agree with that. Going into just, as far as the credits, Phil Roman directed it, Charles Schulz, Bill Melendez, Lee Mendelsohn. Those are the three names you need to know. I mean, outside of listing animators, which we tend not to do on this unless they're, like, really famous ones, I think that pretty much brings the behind-the-scenes to a close. Going into the actual show, and yay, this plot is not super long, so I don't mind. Valentine's Day is fast approaching, and the Peanuts gang have their hopes for the day. Charlie Brown, that he will receive a Valentine. Lioness, that he will be able to find a great Valentine gift for his favorite teacher, Miss Offmar. Sally, to make the quote-unquote perfect Valentine for Lioness. Lucy, that she will finally get Schroeder to notice her. Unfortunately, none of their plans work out. However, things begin looking up for Charlie Brown when Violet gives him a Valentine on the following day.
Kind of a weird way to end that line there, but with Violet giving, they make it seem like it's innocent. But that, to me, it's perfect because I didn't even realize these were some of their, like, I didn't even put together Lucy trying to get Schroeder to notice her. I mean, the main two that dominate the show is obviously Charlie Brown just hoping for Valentine, and then Linus going nuts over the teacher, which is kind of weird. But those are, like, the main two, but it's just perfect that nobody's plan works out, because very rarely does someone's, you know, fantasy picture dream world of what they hope for Valentine's Day ever actually come true.
Yeah,
I'm not trying to be cynical. I'm just saying, like, we all always put up these grandiose, like, visions of what we want Valentine's Day to be like, especially as a kid. You know, like, when you're in elementary school, junior high school, high school, Valentine's Day never lives up to what you want it to be. So it's just a perfect job by the Schulz and Mendelsohn and Melendez of making it so every single one of us could relate to it, because we've all had a Valentine's Day experience that didn't live up to what we hoped it was going to be.
Oh, exactly. But, you know, now that I look at that, at this little plot synopsis here, and actually, as I was watching it, this one, I'm not sure if I don't like Charlie Brown altogether in this one, especially later at the Valentine's party. He's got, like, he has this fucking big chip on his shoulder, like he has an ego or something. Oh, yeah, I'm Mr. Mac Daddy, and I'm going to get all these Valentines. I have my briefcase. Oh, I need two briefcases. Oh, I need, next year, I need three briefcases. And he has a fucking single one. So it's like,
even the most popular person in school doesn't need a briefcase. Sorry. But I also find it funny that this plot doesn't mention Snoopy at all.
Oh, okay, well, It's been a while, but I mean, we can cover the Snoopy stuff. I mean, he does mime the poem that Sally reads.
One of the best parts is his show that he puts on.
He's
a ticket taker, and then Lucy buys the ticket, and then he's the vendor at the concession stand, and then he's the usher, and then he's the movie. The whole movie is him. Like,
yeah,
it's a great scene.
And I love Lucy's reaction. Rain, water, mud. What the?
She put up with things a lot longer than I thought she would.
Yeah.
Since we're talking about the actual show, I just want to hit some highlights on what I like the best about the show, and then I'll give you my couple issues and see what your reaction is to them. But I love in the beginning when the when Linus gets all excited about going out and pounding the erasers. I know it dates the show, but I so remember in school when it was, like, a big thing if you could either go clean off the erasers, or if you could go, like, erase the board or wash the board or do different things for your teacher.
Yeah.
And I think they just did that perfectly with him going outside and pounding the erasers. It brought back some old school memories, which obviously kids these days wouldn't have a darn clue what we're talking about. But I like that part. I absolutely love Snoopy's theater show. It was fantastic, especially it's good to see Lucy get water and mud and all that kind of stuff thrown on her. I love when Snoopy makes the heart and pops it over Woodstock's head, and then vice versa when Woodstock makes it and hits Snoopy over the head with it.
Well, the one thing I like about that, not to really cut you off here, but about when Woodstock does it, because Woodstock is so tiny, He's like, he has to stop every 5 feet he walks because he's like,
yeah.
And then when he finally gets up to the doghouse, he knocks on Snoopy's foot.
Yeah.
In the face.
So the play between Snoopy and Woodstock in this is just classic stuff. It's great.
Yeah.
It never gets. The other three things I really like, one, I already mentioned, I love Schroeder's speech there at the end. I love when Snoopy and Woodstock are shown catching the candy that Linus is throwing over the bridge.
Yeah.
And the other part that I really love, which we haven't mentioned at all today, was they're passing stuff out in the class. They're passing Valentine's out. And then whatchamacallit is going behind them and passing out little candy hearts. And, you know, they show one, and it's just like your classic candy heart that has some little lame word or two words on it. And then we have the one where an entire poem is written on the candy heart, and I forgot now, is that Lucy that's, not Lucy, is that Sally that's reading it? Sally that's reading it, and she'll read, like, a paragraph, and then she'll flip the candy over to the other side and read a paragraph, and then she'll flip it over again and read another paragraph, like there's a million sides to this heart, and it just, I don't know, I thought that was hilarious. I thought it was well done, you know, because the idea of these candy hearts is so stupid that we have like these one or two little words on it, and it would be so much better if you could fit stuff like this on it. I don't know, I thought it was fantastic with what they did on that.
You know, it's very funny. I just remembered this, I think it was last year or the year before, I saw a commercial for M&M's. Where you can go online and you can make your custom M&M, and it can say whatever you want, and I think it's so awesome. I mean, because honestly, I don't like the candy hearts.
No,
they just
nobody does.
They're chalk. Are they leftover chalk from the blackboard?
Yeah. All right, I have to go through with my issues. No.
Oh, here we go, Mr. Negativity's in the house.
Not negativity. I try to be as picky as possible when watching these shows. Like, I don't want it to seem like I'm biased or anything. But there's one point where they're trying to come up with a gift to give, and they're at the table, and Charlie and Lucy and Snoopy are there, and Sally's trying to. It's right before they start cutting designs out of the paper,
right.
Which Snoopy's the god of doing.
Yeah.
there's one point at the very initial part of that scene where Sally isn't even trying to cut anything. She's trying to fold the paper, and she's not capable of folding a piece of paper, apparently. She's, like, trying to fold it, and then it just, like, springs back to form, and then she tries to fold it again, and it springs back to form. Like, I wish they would have been having her cut things and having them not work out, because every freaking idiot can fold a piece of paper.
Well, I think what she would... See, I think, you know, I kind of agree with that, but I think what she was trying to do is she was trying to fold it instead of just folding it like a straight piece of paper in half,
yeah,
she was like trying to two-fold it or three-fold it. So she was like going to fold it in half and then fold it in half again. You know, and just some people...
The way they did it, because it was like she wasn't even trying. It's like, this is ridiculous. the next set of bad things is... Well, all of my bad things revolve around the same theme, basically, other than that one and the whole pity Valentine, which I did not like at all. Obviously, I mentioned how horrible that was. Not only for them to offer a pity Valentine, which is pathetic,
yeah,
on their part, but for him to take it, but we won't get too far into that. We've already talked about that. But everything else bad about the show, in my opinion, is at school, at the Valentine's Day party.
Mm-hmm.
Everything before that I basically love. Everything after that, besides, you know, the pity Valentine, I love. But the whole scene of the actual school Valentine's party was just bizarre.
Yeah.
The first one I can accept. All right, the desks have disappeared from the classroom, which is fine because maybe they moved them out of the way for the Valentine's Day party. All right, so I don't have a big problem with the desk disappearing. I just did notice that there was no desk anywhere in the room, but not a big deal. The worst part for me was the actual passing out of the Valentine's Day cards.
Because they're calling out names.
First of all, the lines were just repeated over and over and over again. He would say one for name, fill in the name, one for, and then he would always follow that up with, where's so-and-so? And then he would go on, one for one, where's so-and-so? And it was just so repetitive that it drove me nuts. But on top of that, first of all, Charlie Brown mentioned that it was such a big class and that he would for sure get one this year because of how big a class it was. There was like six people in the class.
Yep.
There was, like, not very many people in the class. They never showed anybody besides the main cast. I know that's the only people that they have. But I wish they would have just thrown some other random people in there, because they were naming random people sometimes that he was apparently giving Valentine's cards to.
Yep.
But it just, first of all, how do you not know where, I don't know. It just bugged me that he just repeated the where's, you know, where's whoever. Just look around. It's a small class. There's six people in there. I'm pretty sure you can find them. That was probably the worst part for me. I'll give you a second to comment on these here. I got two more things, though. Number one, the teacher leaves before the class. The teacher leaves. At one point, the teacher is gone. All of these, how old are these people supposed to be? They can't be that old. Are in the class still, just tooling around on their own. The teacher is taking off with her boyfriend. Gone. Out of the room. Goodbye. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's the teacher and me coming out here, but you can't leave with your class still in the room. That drove me nuts. And then the last thing, the fact that they could see not only down the hall and apparently out the door, but they could see the parking lot from the doorway of the classroom.
Mm-hmm.
I know that's just a plot device so that they could tell that the teacher was getting in the car with her boyfriend and taking off, but the fact that it was someone hanging out the classroom door that could see all that, I'm like, where is this school? Like, what other school can you look outside the classroom door and see someone getting into a car in the parking lot?
Yeah, very true.
I don't know, just like that whole scene of me, I know I was being picky, but what did you have any problems with any of that stuff?
I think not having it on DVD affects my way of reviewing stuff, because watching stuff on YouTube is okay, but yeah, no.
Right.
I do kind of agree with you. Teachers never leave the classroom before the students do.
It's just like so bizarre. I'm like, what? Where's the teacher? She's gone.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, at least the desk, you could explain it away. Like, let's just say they moved the desk before the party. But none of this other stuff you could explain. And I don't get why you can't just make more people in the class. Why do they have to? Why did we have a class of six people?
Oh, I know what the contradictory scene to that is, though. You said, there's only like six or seven, the main Peanuts characters in the class.
Mm-hmm.
After Linus chases after the teacher, the bell rings or something, and you see like...
And then there's 1,000 people.
Yeah, you see like 100 people coming out of the school, and I'm like, what the hell is this?
If that many people came out of the school, and Charlie Brown considered his class a big class, there must have been a million classes.
Yeah, really. Yeah.
That's being really picky. I can understand most of them. It's just a cartoon. Why am I analyzing it that much? But it was just as someone that's in the school system, and as a teacher, it's just like some of the stuff that just kind of bugged me now. It probably didn't bug me when I was a kid. But and that doesn't take away from the great stuff that I said right before that, especially all the Snoopy stuff, the Woodstock stuff, the pounding of the erasers, the Schroeder speech. I mean, there's so much good stuff that you can kind of get by the couple weird things that they did there. I just thought the ending was a little weird also.
Yeah.
It just ended weird to me. I don't know if I can explain it really, but it just seemed like an odd way to end it.
Yes, very much so.
I'm off my soapbox.
Okay. just going into the music for this one, Vince Guaraldi did the music for all the Peanuts specials. I don't know that we can talk too much about much more about him.
This one didn't seem to have as much music, though, as some of the other ones, to me.
Well, Schroeder had the scene of playing the piano and ignoring Lucy.
And they do have music playing at one part during some of Snoopy's gags and stuff like that, but it just didn't seem like it was that. Like, in this one, the actual lines and the dialogue seemed like the headliner,
yep.
Whereas in some of the other specials, the music was the headliner.
Right, right, yeah. So moving into the legacy segment, just some notes that the wiki had. After this episode was originally aired, children all over America sent Valentines to Charlie Brown out of sympathy. Now, this
not only did he get pity, but he got sympathy Valentines.
Right. All right, but there's a difference, though.
Yes.
There is a difference. In the cartoon, they re-gift a Valentine.
That's the worst thing I've ever heard in my life.
How the fuck can you re-gift a Valentine? That makes no fucking sense.
That's going to make the person feel better?
Exactly. It's not...
I'd rather not get any.
Yeah, exactly. You know, the thing, though, is when I said there are similarities, the same thing happened in the Halloween special. Because he didn't get any candy. Everybody sent Charlie Brown candy after the Halloween special aired.
So I'm gonna make a cartoon of myself, and it's something about like not getting any money.
I could.
Let's see if that works.
Yeah, really. at the end credits, puppet characters of everyone who worked on the show, including Charles Schulz, Lee Mendelsohn and Bill Melendez, and the kids listed above were shown earlier in the special. Snoopy performed a puppet show for the kids. It was the last special, as you said before, for Stephen Shea as Linus and Lynn Mortensen as Sally before being replaced, respectively, by Liam Martin as Linus and Gail M. Davis as Sally. This was the final appearance of Shermie in the Peanuts world. He makes a cameo appearance.
I don't recall when that was, but...
I don't know either.
I don't even know who Shermie is.
Have no clue.
But it's the last time you ever see him, so you make a note of that.
And as I said before at the beginning of this episode, it is on remastered DVD. I think it's a single disc edition because my Easter Beagle DVD is a single disc edition. But that's okay. It's remastered. It's out there. You don't have to watch poor YouTube quality like I had to. God damn it. I think we are going to take a slight break, and we will come back with the final thoughts and the closing.
Dreamcast will be back after these messages.
There once was a boy, an albino, I'm told, who possessed the power of Pen Pusher Gold. He had many stories, all short and exciting, but nobody knew, and so he began writing. He sat there all summer and skillfully sought to perfectly ponder and polish each plot. The settings were set, all the characters cast, his fingers were flying and flailing so fast, and soon the young man with the snowy complexion quickly concocted the caffeine collection. He smiled, satisfied with his clever creation. Oh, the things that did pour from his imagination. Stories of pirates and future police, of devils and bullies, and a twist press release. Fantasy, mystery, both are included. Comedy, action, no genre excluded. You say to yourself, it's too good to be true, but author Steve Saylor would not lie to you. An audiobook so you don't have to read. And hey, $15 is all that you need.
From the author of the podcast novel Black Shadow, Steve Saylor presents The Caffeine Collection, a dynamic audiobook collection of short stories presented by ringtonefeeder.com and stevesaylor.net. Steve presents a genre mashup of multiple stories for your ears.
I have to be on caffeine to write all this.
Steve Saylor presents The Caffeine Collection on sale October 28th, 2009.
So mark this day down so you will not forget. For more information, stevesaylor.net.
Now back to Dreamcast.
Final thoughts on Be My Valentine, Charlie Brown. Actually, before we do the final thoughts, I did notice that in part of the information there was listed a sequel. What the hell is it called? Let me look up here. Valentine... Crap.
Where? Charlie Brown Valentine?
Yeah. Charlie Brown Valentine that was produced in 2002. I've never seen that one. This is the only Valentine Charlie Brown one I've ever seen, but there is a quote-unquote supposed sequel. I don't know. So what are your final thoughts on this one?
I think the best way I can sum this one up is by saying that, number one, I'm not a Valentine's Day fan. Number two, I'm not really that big of a Charlie Brown fan. That being said, I actually like this special. I can't put my finger on it. I don't know what it is about the special that makes me like it. And I don't know. I don't necessarily think I can say it's my favorite Charlie Brown special, but I there's something about this that I just like. I don't know if it's Snoopy and Woodstock playing off of each other. I don't know if it's some of the dialogue, like those speeches that they give shoulder in the Candy Heart speech or whatever, but something about this I like, and that's saying a lot since I'm not a fan of Charlie Brown or Valentine's Day. So if you're a fan of either of those things, this is definitely something that you should watch. It's just good. It's good.
All right. Well, again, for me, just like with Oliver and Company when we did the Disney Spotlight and the Sword and the Stone, you know, these have lasting... a lot of the Peanut specials, and we're not done with Peanut specials. We will do one more, which is the Easter Beagle, Charlie Brown. That'll be episode 45 of TuneCast. But anyway, this one has, again, sentimental value for me because I specifically remember watching this every year at our Valentine's party in elementary school. Again, Valentine's Day, normally I would say, can't really say it anymore since I'm no longer single, but normally I would say that, it's just a way for women to, scheme men for money or whatever, diamonds or whatever. But,
it's like one of those holidays that seems like it leaves more people sad or unhappy than it does happy in the end.
It's funny. A radio show that I listen to up in Boston, Lauren and Wally Morning Show on 105.7 WROR. I've been listening to these two guys since I was 3 or 4 years old. Back then it was WVBF. But they have this thing now where somebody, I forget who does it, it might be, oh man, what's the guy in Men in Black on the videotape? Oh Jesus, Peter something.
Oh, I can't think of it.
Anyway, I can't think of his last name. He did this thing called, women have Valentine's Day on February 14th, February 14th every year. Well, men have March 20th, which is steak in a you-know-what day. I'll have to find that audio, and I'll have to email that to you, because it's just something you should listen to. It's just funny as hell. In total, we would have covered 5 Charlie Brown specials on this. I am a fan of the Charlie Brown specials. I don't know why. I just am. I think it goes back to the fact that I grew up watching them, even though they came out before I was even alive. But I mean, it was something that always ran when I was a kid, and take it or leave it if you want to, but it's still, I think it's something that everyone should have in their DVD collection.
And the nice thing about them is that they're not that long. They're just half hour little things. You could easily just watch them, and it's not going to take that much time, and it's just something fun and relaxing to watch, and it's not, you don't have to get involved in it, and you just watch it and move on.
Very, very true. Alright, well, thank you for joining us here on TuneCast. There are several ways to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show. The first, you can visit www.geekcastradio.com and find all the other podcasts there. The second is you can stop by PredaconEmpire.com. The website itself does have a new layout. You can also stop by our new forums over there. You can find the link on the website itself. It's on the left-hand side of the page. The third is you can leave the show feedback in iTunes. Please do this. We now have a voicemail line. Call us and leave us your thoughts on each episode. Be sure to say which show you're leaving the message for and your name. The number is 502-526-5821. You can follow us on Twitter. The show name there is GCR and TuneCast. Mine is TFG1 Mike. And what is your Twitter?
I'm actually going to throw 2 Twitters out there. Obviously, Boss KDawg, that's 2 S's, a KDAWG for my personal one. And you can also find me on my other one, which is BTVA, which is Behind the Voice Actors.
Okay, cool. All right. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Twain. What the hell is a Twain? episode of TuneCast. And wish you'll join us next time when we'll be reminiscing on Clerks, the animated series. 37 in a row? For now, I am TFG1 Mike with...
me.
Yeah, him. Anyway, say any more words of Optimus Prime. Transform and roll out. And thank you for listening. Until next time.
I spent all my money. I made a fool of myself. This one is for love! And this one is for Valentine's! This one is for romance! This one is for Elizabeth Barrett Browning! This is for How Do I Love Thee? this is for?
Another Valentine's Day has come and gone. I'd give anything if that little red-haired girl had sent me a Valentine.
Hey, maybe she did send me one. Maybe she did send me a Valentine, and it didn't get here till today. Maybe it's in our mailbox right now. I'm afraid to look. If I look and there's nothing there, I'll be crushed. On the other hand, if she did send me a Valentine, I've got to look. I hate Valentine's Day. Charlie Brown, we've been feeling awfully guilty about not giving you a Valentine this year. Here, I've erased my name from this one. I'd like you to have it.
Hold on there. What do you think you're doing? Who do you think you are? Where were you yesterday when everyone else was giving out Valentines? Is kindness and thoughtfulness something you can make retroactive? Don't you think he has any feelings? You and your friends are the most thoughtless bunch I've ever known. You don't care anything about Charlie Brown. You just hate to feel guilty. And now you have the nerve to come around one day later and offer him a used Valentine just to ease your conscience. Well, let me tell you something. Charlie Brown doesn't need your...
Don't listen to him. I'll take it. I guess I let Schroeder down. But it was my first Valentine, you know.
I didn't do too well either. Miss Othmar went off with her boyfriend. She never even knew I had a Valentine's gift for her.
Well, maybe it wasn't a total flop for me. At least they were showing a little thought for me. Even if it was a used Valentine, at least they care a little bit about me. Hey, maybe this is the start of a trend. Maybe this is a whole new trend for old Charlie Brown. Maybe this is the start of something big. Maybe next year I'll get a whole bunch of Valentines. Maybe next year I'll need 3 briefcases instead of 2. Maybe next year I'll even...
Happy Valentine's Day, Charlie Brown.